would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is May the 15th, 2018. It is a Tuesday. Have a live show for you today. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And we'll see you in queue. Uh-oh. And would love to engage with you today. So definitely do that. Everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Make your donations. Go to the website to do that. And also, you can as well go to BTR Community, and that's www.btrcommunity, and become a member. Become a member for the social media outlet that will support this network and help this network continue to grow and meet its financial obligations. Really easy. The social media network, BTR Community, was put together for you to engage in social media activities without being as adversely affected, without you actually being data mined, your information compromised and sold to everyone in the world for whatever reason. And not only that, where other people can look at your overall profile, develop a profile of you themselves. And so many people have lost opportunities, promotions, employment opportunities, business opportunities because of that social media platform, and may not be aware of that. It does you no good. It really does you a lot of harm because it's disclosing the way you think. So definitely be aware of that. So for $24 a year, you can join BTR Community. And when you join BTR Community, you will be able to... One second. Okay. You could join BTR Community and definitely, you know, engage in all of your social media activities without being adversely affected. $24 a year is a 30-day free membership that you can do just to see how the platform works, and that will help you out. Okay. Also, listen, everyone, on May the 9th, there's going to be the the Legacy Wealth Managing, strategizing the wealth strategies for your family is going to be here in Dallas. And I didn't post it a couple of days ago. I'll repost it. If you'd like to get involved in that, you can definitely text me at 951-790-8330. We'll get you the information in order to do that. Great, great seminar on Sunday. I will be presenting. Saturday is a great seminar. Well, the whole thing is great and some great, great information. So that's coming up the 9th of June and is going to be here in Dallas. If you would like to attend, just text me, 951-790-8330, okay? All right, so before I do that, also, if you'd like to acquire real money, go to Prosperity Mint. Check out what's in inventory there. Then email info@prosperitymint.com. Let them know that you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and they then someone will contact you, and it is to your benefit. It's not a sales or anything else. It's for your benefit, and definitely do that. info@prosperitymint.com. Let them know that you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and they will take care of you and reach out to you. Okay, so make sure you do that. All right, so we're going to jump into today's show. Today's show, I didn't get to post a lot. Actually went off to play golf today. A man tore my back up. tore my back up. So I'm struggling. And so, but it was cool, but messed my back up. And I had a messed up back before I went. Knew I shouldn't have been doing it and just messed it up even worse. So, having a hard time today. Getting old, y'all. Getting old. But nah, that's not the reason why. Well, it is. But, man, tore my back up. All right. So, let's jump into what's in the news for today, Tuesday, May the 15th, 2018. Topic is, do we really want systematic oppression to end? And so that was the overall question. I'm pretty sure everyone will say, yes, we do. But have we really looked at what that means and how you get there and what would be replacing it all with? So would love to hear from you on that topic. And you can give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I'm going to jump into what's in the news. And first article we posted, this one came from Wall Street Journal. U.S. Embassy move. Bloodshed added to friction between U.S. and allies. Washington allies in Europe and the Middle East criticized the United States for opening a new embassy in Jerusalem on Monday and calling on Israel to restrain its force after dozens of Palestinians were killed in clashes. Well, it was way more than a dozen. It was in the 60s. So definitely check out that article, and has something to do with what we've been talking about this week.
Quick
so
question check out that for article. You, Daddy.
Yeah, guys, I think Scotty was there. Let me make sure.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah. So I've been noticing, starting with MSNBC a couple of days ago, and I read a CNN article today. But most of the mainstream media is calling this clashes. I thought both of us had to have weapons if we clashing. You know what I'm saying? Like a clash
exactly.
of swords or something like that.
It's a massacre.
Yeah, these aren't clashes. the clashes say that there's equal combatants, or, you know, no, these mm-hmm. aren't clashes. These are unarmed protesters. But just, yeah. you know, we was talking, I think we, not too long ago, you were talking about propaganda in the media. I mean, just little stuff like that, man, is what we should pay attention to. Is that an appropriate word, clashes, for what's going on? I would say no. Massacre, like you said.
Yeah, Scotty, and that's it's so, so important, and they do that all the time. And this is what we really need to talk about, too, as well, and this is that's the propagandizing and the overall massaging and getting people to buy into the program of the systematic control of people, and that is definitely one of the preferred methods that the system likes to use. And as you said, yeah, that's not appropriate. This is not a clash, you know. Israel started a clash with Syria a couple of weeks ago, and you know Syria was able to respond. Even though that was an unprovoked attack and everything, but that was somewhat of a clash because Syria was able to shoot down and then defend and then shoot down some of the missiles, then shoot down some Israeli planes. That was somewhat of a little skirmish. That wasn't even a clash because Israel did a whole lot more to Syria, and then what Syria did to them, that was a skirmish. You know, a clash is no. Come on. As Scotty said, a clash is combatants, where not only are you able to defend, you're able to counterattack, you're able to strategically attack, you're able to defend yourself. This is a massacre. This is a complete massacre, and it's they're using weapons to quell the people's fight for what they think is morally correct, and they are right. They are right, and they have been right, and they haven't lost the moral high ground. Anyway, and the Zionists of Israel, or the Hitler state of Israel, is perpetuating this whole thing. And it's for a lot of reasons. And my overall opinion is the reason is to maintain what we have now going forward in the future. So definitely so true, Scotty. Next article, I got this one from Reuters. Britain calls for an investigation into Gaza violence. Britain called on Tuesday for an investigation after Israeli troops shot dead dozens of Palestinian protesters on the Gaza border. It wasn't dozens. It was far more than dozens. It was multiples of over 60. But that was just the ones that were killed. So check out that article. Next article from Press TV. EU must resist illegal, illogical U.S. moves, was what the Iranian president said. Next article from RT International. U.S. will promise North Korea Kim Jong-un that will seek no regime change. Check out that article. Next article from RT International. Ivanka and Jared meet the rabbi who called blacks monkey, reported and reportedly got blessed. Check out that article. Next article, got this one from Freedom Outpost, The Age of Petty Tyranny. Good article. Check out some of that stuff that's there. Next article, my man Rise posted this from Recode. Coinbase wants to serve big Wall Street investors so it can offer a service for safekeeping of cryptocurrencies. Check out that article. Next article, posted this one, Press TV. United Nations Security Council holds emergency meetings on Israel violence. So check out that in Nikki Haley. And once again, propaganda. First thing Nikki Haley tries to establish is that Syria attacked Israel a few nights ago, and it prompted Israel to have to engage when Israel has been attacking Syria for years, and they started the overall skirmish the other night, and then there was finally a response by Syria and Iran. And now once Israel starts and the U.S. starts stuff, and then when somebody responds, they say, they try to change the narrative, say, no, we were attacked. But no, that was never the case. If you hadn't started the overall violent engagement, it would not have been done. And this is why the U.S. needs no nuclear weapons, nor Israel, or everybody on the planet, or every country on the planet should have them, because these nuclear weapons, the U.S. uses the their nuclear arsenal, and Israel uses their nuclear arsenal to be terrorists throughout the whole world, when other countries will be using it to defend themselves from that. So, and this is why they don't want other countries to be able to defend themselves from the U.S. and from Israel. Because then U.S. and Israel has no standing ground anymore. They don't have a table of negotiation that's unevenly yoked for them. They don't get to dictate the contract. They don't get to write the contract. They have to fall in line like everybody else as to what the merits of what it is that you're bringing to the table. And the U.S. brings nothing but death, destruction, occupation, colonization, and subjugation and enslavement. It's all it ever brought. Always will be that way, because the system needs them for the time being. And soon the system will spew the U.S. out, and everyone that lies within its corporate borders will be adversely affected by that. And that's, as Run DMC said in the old school, that's just the way it is. So check out those articles. Didn't get to post a lot today, but we're going to jump into today's show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Now, what I would want to do is want to talk about today's show is going to be, do we really want systematic oppression to end? And for you, the Tando Radio Show listeners, I think you should ask that question to not just for other people, but for ourselves as well. Because it's always better to start where you are, where you sit. I know I have to ask that question. I have to ask many questions. And I would have to say, I do want the systematic oppression to end, but I definitely would want it to end in a methodical approach, not all at once, like right now. Even if I could, and if I had the overall ability to end systematic oppression right away, and that was all I could do, in light of who we all are around the world and the true condition of ourselves, I wouldn't think that would be a wise thing to do immediately. I would definitely start the overall methodical process hastened. The first thing, you know, even before you can end systematic oppression, you have to first rehabilitate everyone that's been victimized by it. And that's just my opinion. I would love to hear your opinion. If you could end it right now, would you? For me, I would definitely start the overall and hasten the process to start, but it's the process. I would not end it right away. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's because shocking the body mentally and physically and literally and figuratively, shocking the body can be quite damaging. to an individual, where an individual can generally, let's take a physical injury. The individual could withstand the physical injury and heal from the physical injury, but the shock of the injury could actually kill a person. And ending systematic oppression right away, at an instance, at a twinkling, at a snap of a finger, would bring so much shock to so many that it, to me, it would be a situation that is creating a worse condition for everyone. The old saying, just because you could doesn't mean that you should. And this is just my opinion. Now, would I want it to be prolonged and every, no, I definitely would. But first and foremost, for me, I think that we have to detoxify ourselves of this system. You know, if it was just like for you all, many of you, I don't know everyone that listens to Tando Radio Show, but the ones that I do know about Tando Radio Show, a lot of you could handle the overall immediate end of the systematic oppression. Immediately could handle it. But even some of us, you know, think that we could handle, we probably, I'm not quite sure if I could handle it. Just to, you know, to be honest about it. Not quite sure, never been in it. But what you do is you try to create the environment and start to put means and try to prepare for it. And then once it happens, you'll see if you're ready. So I would, for me, I wouldn't end it at a snap of a finger. Some people would. I understand why they would do it. But for me, I would hold on, wait a minute. I would be more inclined, and I think it would be more beneficial, and I think it would be more sustaining if there was a systematic detoxation first. Because in actuality, you can end systematic oppression at a snap of a finger. But when you do that, and you put energy towards that, there is going to be a response to what you're doing. And I think that there could be a very, and there is a negative response to that type of shock, because we haven't detoxified ourselves from this system. And until we do that, I think what could possibly happen is that we could create an environment that was far worse than where we came. You know, it's one thing to walk out of Egypt. Well, no, let me rephrase that. There's one thing to walk out of, because I don't like that whole story. I don't like that whole connotation. I think it's not appropriate. It's one thing to walk out of captivity when you've been captive your whole life. Now when you walk out of it, what you gonna do now? You're gonna have to relearn the whole ecosystem immediately, while your overall body functions will need immediate response to it all. There are definitely needs that you're going to have to facilitate right away. And if systematic oppression ended, and I'm not saying it should end, it definitely has to end. But I think it's in detoxifying ourselves with that, if we take the systematic oppression into the ecosystem, what one thing that we're going to recreate is another form of systematic oppression, because that's all we know how to build. We have to go back and get real education as to why we should be doing certain things, and these are the benefits, these are the ramifications, these are the self-determining factors that we should be weighing, and engage it. We don't have that ability. Now, maybe we could do it on a small scale individually, but when you talk about masses amount of people, that overall intoxication magnifies itself. So, I think the process, just as the process to get to where we are, there has to be a process to move away from it. And then open yourself up to a real opportunity to have a sustainable culture that you can establish and not a oppressive fad that you follow. So, what say you? What do you think? What would the choice? Think is, you know, really important, because it really speaks a lot about us as individuals as well. From our overall experience, life experience, our overall conditions, and our individuality, our individual capabilities and our skills. Some people could go from at a snap of a finger and go right into, but and do it and wouldn't be shocked. But still, there's a process of learning that has to be engaged, and we haven't put energy into that. We haven't really. We've been so busy trying to march our way to freedom, trying to vote our way to freedom, trying to get permission to be free, that we don't know how to walk alone, let alone walk among the sovereign individual among us, among ourselves. We'll start hating as soon as we start doing that. Oh, look at her. Oh, look at him. And all these other things. That's oppression. That's the thoughts and the energy of an oppressed mind. That's the creation of oppressive energy. And, I mean, we're really, really afflicted with it. Really, really afflicted with it. You know how you can really see? Look at the disunion that we have among ourselves, and how easy things could come into, how little things can go into our lives and create big division among ourselves, our families, our community, our connection to the ecosystem. No one is even... Very few have even thought about reengaging with the proper relationship with the ecosystem, understanding that we have no dominion over it at all. We have no control over it, even with the most advanced weapons and everything else, with HAARP and everything else. That's a small fragment and small things that can be done. Very, very small. Very, very insignificant. But it means the world to you and I. See, and we so often we think what happens to us is the end all be all of everything. And I'm gonna tell you something. It's really not significant. It's only significant to you as the individual. It's not really significant to the overall full process and the fullness of what we have known as life. If you're not here, the trees will still, the flowers will still bloom. The wind will still blow. If our society and our borders aren't here, the rain will still come. The winter will still be cold. The summers will be blazing. We're really not significant. And our overall relevance has been minimized because of how we use our capabilities. The universe, truly, in my opinion, considers us not. Why? It doesn't need to. And I don't even think that the great creator really bothers with us as a species. There's no favoritism. That's how you get discrimination. That's how you get racism. That's how you get separation. Hate to tell us, but you get no head of the line privileges because you're this person or that person. The great creator didn't make a personship, made a living entity, beings, that is able to create from the gift that was given to you. And I would actually say that the great creator is probably pretty pleased at what we've created, even as destructive as it is, because we've chosen to do this with our free will. And the overall harmony and the overall benefits and the prosperity still falls upon us, not because of what we've done, because of what the overall conditions and environment that was created still comes to us. In all forms, mental, physically, spiritually, eternally, temporarily. The wind still blows on a very, very hot day. There's always a break in the weather. There's always so much that maintains the overall beauty and process of life. So, and I say all of that because our systematic oppression, and I say the real reason why it hasn't ended right away is because we as individuals benefit from it in our estimation. And we've been conditioned to see those benefits as the overall, the book of life, the path and the journey that at all costs must be defended. Women are to sacrifice their children. Fathers are to sacrifice their inheritance. People are to sacrifice their culture to uphold it. So death do you part. So I think our overall process of oppression is not someone else's fault. Not that someone else's. It's just that we don't like the ability and the leverage that others have against us and the adversity that it has on us and other people. But we haven't made choices to detoxify ourselves of it. And that all starts with us individually. I know I need to do it. And it's a continuous process. Something that's done daily. And I fail daily at it. But I'm not afraid of my failures because I don't quit. No, I don't allow myself to give in just because it didn't go my way. So, and we're seeing this play out in so many things in on the global front. And we're going to continue to see it play out. And as the overall systematic restructuring happens, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you, for us, for our families to seize on the opportunities of detoxifying ourselves and creating something different. For those that we have yet not named that will be born out, hopefully outside of the oppressive system, will start the overall journey to receding the prosperity that's been lost. And the reason why I say I wouldn't end oppression right away is because we've known too much. We've been too tainted by it. I think it's really on us to start the overall detoxification of oppression, not to end it. Not to end it. Because to say, to give the falsehood that we're going to end it, if you end it, so you think that you're ending it, but in actuality, you're putting yourself as the deciding factor for others, because this is what this system has always taught us to do. We think about it. If before we talked about this last week, how many of us would really say, hey, in order for us to do this, we got to have some leadership. We got to have a government. We got to have this. We got to have that. Do you realize that that's the oppression talking? Nobody led you into this life. Most of us came out head first. Some of the other way, but most of us came out head first. You may have had a twin that you followed, but that twin wasn't leading you. You was both using the same channel to be birthed. It just happened to be occupied by you and your twin. Your breath is your breath. Like, upon request, as you can ask, can you breathe? Even if you requested to breathe, there's no guarantee that you will. And I say that because if we're going to use the same thing that got us in this demonic state, so now we're just going to pick the wardrobe of the sacrificial ritual practice, demonic practices and rituals now. The only thing that we're going to change is the stitching and change the colors and change the overall style and the design of subjugation and oppression and enslavement. And I know there's a lot that hate runs deep within us. Run deep in my life until realize that, nah, that ain't a productive energy. That's not a benevolent sustaining force. It's a destructive, malevolent energy that will always surely kill me first. So when we talk about the system, I think we have to have some real reverence for what ails us, for the attacking factor for the enemy within. Because we can all pick out all of the wrongs of Israel, the United States, of Russia, this place and that place, of this organization and that organization. We can give a whole tutorial, present a whole case as to why they should be found guilty. But we'll never look for the accuser in the accusations of ourselves. And until we have that type of maturity, and until we have that type of clarity, we're not ready for oppression to end because we're benefiting too much from it in this existing form. And we prefer it. A toxic nature needs the conditions to be just right for it to be lethal. And many of us in our relationships, in all forms of relationships, we're lethal to ourselves, to everything around us. And yes, we could point the finger and say this is doing this and this is doing that. But until we take our fingers and invert them inwardly and tapping our hearts, tapping our minds, tapping our thoughts, we'll continue to be where we deserve to be, lost in the wilderness of despair. Because we're not ready to build, not ready to work to create the appropriate environment that we seek. One of the things about building is that you have to learn to pick up a hammer. You have to learn how to utilize all the tools and know what tools work best in what condition and environment, and how to use that and how to best utilize by way of mathematics, by way of force, by way of physics, by way of cooperation, sustainability. What's the appropriate tactic to be used? But in this oppressive system, the first tactic is always to be at each other's throat. To always be ready to defend, because there's no greater than you. And we develop a very, very sick eye problem. I. And we develop that sickness, that toxic sickness, as an eye problem. We become so dependent on that. We become so addicted to it that we'll have a scorched earth policy for everything. Every relationship we have, every plan of the future that we'll try to engage in, every opportunity, every reason for us will be the toxic nature of I. And there's a difference between having an I problem and having the service mentality of here I am. One of my favorite things that Dr. King said, everyone can be great. If you just learn how to serve. Everything that we consider as being weak is strong. And everything that we consider strong is fragilely brittle. Fragilely brittle. Is not able to stand, is the test of anything. It always resorts to one thing and one thing only: aggressive nature. And then we legitimize that as self-preservation. Have strong self-preservation skills. No, it means you're the most selfish. If we were somewhere personally, I would say, you're the most selfish. International Monetary Fund, IMF. You're the most selfish IMF ever. We glorify that. It starts so early with us. So, is the oppressive, systematic oppression system here to stay? I would say we're not even in a position to consider it ending. Just me personally, doesn't mean just my opinion, doesn't make it right. Your opinion don't make it right either. But I say that for this. We can't even move into ending the systematic oppression until we first detox ourselves from our involvement in it. The conscious and subconscious investment that we made into this system is the first order, is the first opportunity, is the first call, is the first step. And that call and that step is so strong and so meaningful that it won't end. And you won't be able to get all of the free radicals and the toxic spew and the septic energy out all in one flushing. We're going to have to get ourselves in the position where our overall physical bodies, our spiritual bodies, our mental bodies are habitually practicing and habitually through all that we do, detoxifying the millions upon millions of years of built up sludge. Before we can walk away, we got to break out. And it's going to take something greater than the diamond to cut through it. It's going to take something more committed, more disciplined. More participation than what we've done before. Won't be a time to take a break, to relax. We basically have to work ourselves to death through it, to break through. And I would say, it's okay to die when you fight for life, because prosperity will surely come. So as the world continues to move in the oppressive spin, the momentum of that spin is beyond light speed. I actually do think the universe revolves around us. The malevolent universe definitely revolves around us, because we've created such a great spin that the other entity, living entities around the universe can't even touch and be able to penetrate. Because our spin of demise, our rotational spin to the left, every time something touches it, it spins it out and kicks it way back. Because that's a deadly energy that they have there. The self-mutilation that they practice is foolishly odd and unbearable. It's a great form of debauchery. So I think some of the other universal entities can't even penetrate with their technology or whatever they have, the lack thereof or the fullness of thereof. They can't even penetrate. And in actuality, that's the way it should be. Let those that have the ability to execute their free will, let them execute it. Whatever they do will be beautifully, will be the best, we're the best oppressors that we possibly could be. And we prove the masterful pieces that we have on display daily. It's not even trophies that we have anymore. It's just a wall of energy that continues to get thicker and thicker as the millennials go by. Every once in a while, there's a peep that will go in a different direction. And it'll be singular. And it'll be small. But it won't be practice among many. Because many aren't nurtured to develop it. Because we don't have the capabilities of doing that now. Because we have great baggage. We got to break through first. So, I don't know about oppression ending. Sounds good. Sounds politically correct, but it's morally wrong, in my opinion. Would make a good propaganda piece that the systematic system would love to utilize and use, because they'll just turn it all around and use it to their benefit to actually embed ourselves even further. So it's mildly odd that throughout my whole 50 years here, that many have come without a change. Many have appeared but very few stayed. Many appear to be doing what was politically correct, but they couldn't stay the course because we're all infirmed by this. The first step I think that we need to do is admit, yeah, yes, I do support this in so many different ways. Now, you may not be the card carrying. You may have said no to that's not an honorable thing to do. That was the moral thing to do. The honorable thing to do was to now stand up against it. And you start with you before you look at anyone else. Conquer where our battles are. Work on detoxifying ourselves, because my man Scotty says, I'm having a hard time following the logic, Dave. Your message seems contradiction, or in the very least. What do you mean, Scotty? Come on, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm just having a hard time following the logic, Dave. Excuse my mm-hmm. voice. I don't know. I haven't been in a shouting match or anything like that. So I don't know why my voice is trying to leave me. I'm just not following the logic, Dave, with some of the things that you're saying. For example, I'm big into the abolitionist movement, and we say slavery ain't gonna end itself, you know. So you have right. those who are using their free will to practice slavery against the unwilling. I don't think anybody's willingly subjecting themselves to slavery, regardless of what Kanye West thinks, you know, that it was a choice. I don't think we choose to go through these violations of our human rights and what have you. So I know it's wrong. I'm not going to use my energy to enslave someone. I'm not going to use my financial energy to invest in legalized slavery through private prisons and jail bonds and things of that nature. So I'm taking care of me first and making sure that I don't practice slavery. I understand that part of it, but the part of not trying to end it, I'm not following the logic on that, because I'm under the understanding that if it was going to end itself, we wouldn't be centuries into it. So I'm just not following the logic. I hope that you understand where my confusion is coming from.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt, Scotty, and I don't think that it can't end itself. The people here that participate in it have to actually end it. And the reason why I say it's not going to end, because we first have to detoxify ourselves of all of it. Because I'm gonna put it this way. It is so deeply rooted in us that we don't even look at how our relationships with people, how much of that dictates how we conduct ourselves daily. Because we've never known anything but this. So in order for us to get away from it, you can't just walk away from it, because the only thing that you're going to be doing is doing this. If you are infected with a virus, you can walk out of the area that the virus has actually been is located. But when you walk, it's because you've been in that environment and you've been inundated in that environment and you've been saturated in it. When you walk out of it and you go into a clean environment, now you're polluting that environment. And what I'm conveying, not saying is right, not saying is wrong, is that in order for you to go from a contaminated environment, you have to go into a detoxification and a quarantine. Then you can walk into a sterile environment where that overall infection or that virus is no longer a part of your constitution. This virus is so deeply rooted in our Constitution that we really don't look at how to detoxify ourselves because it's not worth it. We won't say it's worth it. What's the cause for us to go through? Because we can't go from being in the affected environment. We have to get into being detoxed and quarantined and get all of that off of us. How do we get all of that off of us? It's the most difficult thing and it's the easiest thing to do. Just like when you join a real prevalent gang and you join the organized crime element, and I'm talking about where the ultimate organized crime element is not the mafia. That's just what they say. It's the overall governmental entities around the world because you live a different lifestyle than everybody else. Everything you do is in secret and is all malevolent in everything that you do. And when you gain from that, the only way that you can ever leave it, you got to give everything back. And what I mean by give everything back, there's some things you can't give back. And this system is so bad and it's so polluted. In order for us to get out of this environment and ever to be able to walk into a sterile environment where we're not going to adversely affect everything around there right now, you take people from this environment, you put them anywhere, and they are going to be the pariah and they're going to be the virus because this is the only thing that we've known. You walked out too fast. So what I'm saying is this. If we're truly sincere about ending this, we got to give everything back. Everything. And I don't know that there's been too many people that talk about that. What they really do talk about is that they talk about, yes, we've been affected by this. We want this to end. But what they're really saying is that we don't want it to affect us no more. Yeah, and then they'll say with a double tongue, yeah, we don't want them to be affected. But in actuality, they do because they garnish a hate because we've become what we've had to endure. There's a lot of people that hold a lot of hate. And we can lie to each other, but you can't lie to yourself. But where did that hate come from? That hate ain't never going to leave. And when we get ready to go to a break, when we come back, I'm going to finish it. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. We're talking about ending the oppressive system, and I was saying that, yes, that's hopefully the ultimate goal, but that ain't the journey. That ain't the first step. That's the objective. But the method to getting there is just as critically important because if we don't individually, because this process can be initiated by you outside of anyone else, and I do believe a lot of you have. But now, and I got to deal with it, everybody has to deal with it. Until you give everything back that the system gave you, You're going to be a host carrier of this disease and this virus. You're the host now. And a part of being the host is this. Yeah, we can say we're not. But just let us watch for those of us that say that we're not, let's just watch you for a day and we can show, you can see how you are in all things. It's not just one or two things. It's in everything that we've been taught. And for us not to see that as being relevant means that we're underestimating the stronghold that this oppressive system has on us all. And it's so meaningful. It's so meaningful that his grip could not come without some real intertwining and deception. So my overall logic is that we definitely have to get there. But I think it would be very naive to think that we can carry this disease and this virus from an unsterile environment into a sterile environment and not contaminate everything we touch. Because we'll use the same ideology, we'll use the same practices, we'll put up the same system. It will just have different beneficiaries.
Hey, Dave, let me see if I can give you an example of what I think you're talking about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Black nationalists, and there are varying beliefs among black nationalists. All of them don't subscribe to the same platform or what have you. But I'm just using them as an example. All right. So we have some black nationalists. Let's say we had, and this actually happened. You had Louis Farrakhan saying we needed a black nation and a couple of Southeast states, and then we need Obama to lead it. And I just start rolling my eyes and scratching my head, and I'm like, after this dude's role in this present system, what makes you think that he would be a logical choice or a moral choice or you know, a competent choice for this new nation? It's going to be doing the same dang on thing, in my opinion.
Right. Right.
Is that what you mean, Dave, about that's coming out of one system and taking the baggage with you?
That's exactly it, Scotty. That's exactly it. And see, this is, I'm going to tell y'all, this is why it's so, so important for us to collaborate. Because I can't do it without Scotty. I can't do it without you. I can't do things without you. And it's not that I'm right or you're wrong or this or that. It's just that until we look at, wait a minute, we're drenched in this. And until we can respect those that haven't been tarnished by this, why are we not quarantining ourselves from them? Because if we don't quarantine ourselves from them, we're going to make them sick. And in that quarantine, because when we first put that energy out to say, wait a minute, this is much deeper than what we're thinking, it has a stronger hold over us, because when we start thinking that way, then we can start to unravel all of, not some of, just the ones we want to unravel or the ones that adversely affect us. We can unravel all of the DNA of destruction. So it's so important. It's the most important. The first step is to detoxify. Because without that, it's just like anything else that you create. When you're creating silver, it's got to first start with a star. It has to first be a sun, a S-U-N. Then what happens is that sun, that S-U-N, goes into supernova and it explodes and it emits itself, and all of its intrinsic energy and properties get scattered everywhere that sustain life. How important is the sun to us? It's a process. And the first process, we can't look at our objective should be to get there, but we have to have a realistic look at where we are. This is the only system I've ever known. Hate it. Disagree with it. Don't want to have anything to do with it. But I know it's so strong that I can't underestimate its hold. So for me to walk out of this virus area, and the longer I stay in that infected area, the more time that the virus can now inundate and saturate itself and have all this tentacles in my whole body, my whole physical body. So now when they just give me a little pill that's going to take away some of the temporary symptoms, but I'm still sick because I ain't never been cured. They just gave me some health care, then now they're going to put me in this sterile environment. I'm going to affect everybody because I'm still sick. And the greatest step is to detoxify yourself. It's greater than building the system that won't be oppressive, because the foundation has to be laid. There's nothing that can stand until we get to the bedrock. What structure that is going to be able to withstand the test of times, the winds of adversity, the toxic rains, the beaten down of the seasons? And until we establish the bedrock that structure can be built off of, we're building a valuable collapse, a structure that will collapse. That's just what I'm saying. I'm in full agreement that this system is yes. But I would say the first order is that we got to give everything back. We got to give all of the malevolent and the destructive nature that we picked up here, we got to give that all back. We can't take none of the spoils. We can't take basketball with us, y'all. We can't take football with us. Because basketball and football, yes, it's cool, but if you look at what is really designed to do on a larger scale, it is actually the mirror of subjugation and enslavement. The overall controlling factor set the rules that exploit the fans, the fanatics, and the players. Look at the NCAA. Look at the professional leagues. They care not about the over. It's, you know what they do? They just bring them in, use up all of their energy, and they discard them. That's what the system does. And we groom our babies to want to do it. We look at their talents and we say the only stage that talent that they have can be put on is in the NFL or in the NBA. Who's sick? We are. We're really sick. We're really, really sick. And we got to get cured, not health care. Not mitigating some symptoms so that the overall virus could get deeper within ourselves. And finally, compromise who we really are. And then at some point in some time, there are some individuals that's just not salvageable. Their overall, the growth, the virus is no longer benign. It's developed its own growing organism that is eating the host to death. Consuming the host to death, cancer is not a natural, it's a man-made disease, a man-made viral terrorism. And it's also in the physical, mental, and spiritual form of it. It's to consume the host. So my thought is that it's very important that this system ends. But in order to end this system that has been methodically planned out and structured, and that's why it works so well. Until you can methodically plan out an alternative to cure ourselves of this, we will do what we've known, and we will flow like water to the path of least resistance. We will act the way that we've been taught. We will institutionalize the same things, but we'll give it a different name. We will mimic and emulate where we came from. Not as a, not to memorialize where we've been, but to memorialize our demise and guarantee it going forward. So, the oppressive system has to end with first step being detoxifying ourselves. We got to go through a detox. And everyone here, I'm going to tell you, I can justify why I'm not part of the system. But if I would really evaluate myself, I can also see why I still am. And the thing is that that's the way the system was designed. For us to ignore the truth, but uphold a self-righteousness. Because when we really evaluate who we really are, and where we really been, and what's really been afflicting us, is deep. It's deep. It's really, really deep.
Hey, brother.
And yeah, Brother Davis. I'm sorry, Brother Davis, I didn't see you on in queue there. What say you, Brother Davis? Go ahead.
I apologize for intruding, but I got a meeting to
delay. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
I'm hanging out with my little grandson here. You want to say hello, man? And, but listen, Dave, I'm going to tell you something. The power of Black Talk Radio is immense. I'm going to tell you, my program that I'm working on for tomorrow night is right along these lines. I don't know if you people know or have heard of the Tavistock Institute. This institute was designed for mass programming all around the world, not one area exclusively. And this is right in line with Dave is telling you now, because we are being governed by a multiplicity of agencies, and each one of these agencies are working on a specific area of developing their plan in order to stay in a position of charge. What they haven't focused on the fact is that in time, all civilizations change, and that's literally what they're trying to do. They're trying to maintain society and civilization the way it is, but they can't change the natural order of things. So, for those of you who want to get a head start on tomorrow night's show, do some research on the Tavistock Institute, because I'm going to tell you something. These are think tanks that literally have been designed purposefully to keep us in a subservient position as long as the society as it is now survives. Because they too know that ultimately where there's a beginning, there is also an end. So look forward to tomorrow night's show. Please come with a pencil and piece of paper, because I'm going to tell you something. You are the target. Just like Dave was telling you, all of this is true in a multiplicity of ways. This is Brother Davis looking forward to tomorrow's Wise Wednesday. And Brother Dave, it's always good to hear the voice of a friend. I appreciate the courtesy you've shown, and I'll get back into the room.
My brother, always good to hear the voice of a friend. Please enjoy your grandson, your inheritance, brother, and I greatly appreciate tomorrow, Wise Wednesday. Don't want to miss it. And you know what I love about this platform is that everyone here is sharing not what they hold as they're holier than thou, but it's they're sharing with you some of the things that they've learned, and they want you to go on your journey. Seek out your truth. Find out who you are. Don't rely on what the system has told you you are, because that's far from the truth. And it was all done, if you think about it, and, you know, Brother Davis will tell you the adversity that he's had in his life. Scotty will tell you, and others will tell you about the adversity that they've had in their life. But everyone at an adverse time came to a decision. What am I going to do with the opportunity that I have? And many here have decided to give back to you outside of the system. This network is really a grassroots network. I mean, it is a grassroots network. But every blade of grass has to be nurtured in order for it to become strong, endure the harsh seasons, and then multiply itself. Many blades of grass is what makes our lives green. And that's what so important on this platform. And like Brother Davis said, man, other platforms will be talking about things and talk and doing things and working within the system and wanting the overall fruits of their labor. Our labor is for the prosperity that's been lost, to reestablish it in the true opportunity for it to grow by self-determination and sovereignty. So, Wise Wednesday tomorrow with Brother Davis. Definitely come with a pen and paper. Give him a call. The number will be the same as 704-802-5056. We'll be looking forward to it. Tomorrow, Wise Wednesday. It's always a Wise Wednesday. So we got another caller in queue. Before we go to a commercial break, I got like 7 minutes before we go to the commercial break. Let's go to the caller that's in queue. Is my man out of OKC. Brother out of OKC, what say you? What's going on?
Sorry about that, brother. I was on mute.
No, geez, you good. Dave. What's up, bro? Peace, brother.
Peace, Brother Dave. Brother Davis, I'm kind of delayed, so forgive me if I'm like behind on this because I was listening on TuneIn and I had paused it. But when I paused it, Scotty was basically, you and him were conversing about the logic of a choice. But I mean, isn't everything a choice? All a choice. We chose to sign those treaties. We chose to trust them. At some point in time, I mean, we do have to be accountable for, and I mean, self-determination, that's a choice, isn't it? Everything is a
right.
choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. I mean, like, as far as the Kanye guy, you know, he was talking about that. Everybody got offended, but, I mean, it really is a choice, man. I mean, if you're getting bullied, I mean, you're going to have to choose to fight that bully one day or keep getting your little lunch money took. I mean, everything is a choice. So I kind of missed it. I didn't hear the rest of y'all conversation, but I didn't understand where I was going as far as the logic, it being a choice, because it is a choice.
Yeah, and what Scotty was saying, Scotty's gonna come out. He's gonna respond. Wanted to respond. What Scotty was saying is that he didn't under, and I think he missed Mel. And it's right what, because you're right. It is a choice. What Scotty was saying is that, hey Dave, I don't understand your logic. He didn't understand my logic. And my logic was that we're actually in an environment where we're infected. And before we can go into a sterile environment that is not in an oppressive nature or an oppressive paradigm, we can't walk from the infected virus area into the area that is sterile and clean, or else we will affect everything there. That's just the truth of life. So in order for us to do that, we got to go through a detoxification. And then Scotty has said it's kind of like what would happen in a certain situation where the individual would have been the wrong individual. Who's this individual to take and create something that is not going to be any different than what was already created? So Scotty was just saying, hey, Dave, what's your logic on this? He wanted to say, but further explain this. What do you mean by this? Because, you know, we engage in this every day, and we're moving to, and we want to end this oppressive system. And when he was saying, what do you mean by we can't end it? And so the overall, I'm just saying that there's a process.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a process.
And that analogy you used when you said if you had a whole glass of pure sterile water, and if you put one drop of poison in it, I mean, you have to be clean before you can, you know what I'm saying, get in that glass of water, because you will taint the whole glass of water. I got you.
Yeah, that water is no longer sterile. It's polluted. Yeah. It's poison.
So we got to fix it before we even walk up to that glass of water. We got to be at least, okay, and it's not a choice that we poison, but it's a choice to get that colloidal silver in us and clean our detoxifiers. Okay, I got you, brother. I'm gonna leave my love.
It's not a choice. And see, that's what Scotty was saying is that, hey, we didn't choose this. And that was some of the part. Exactly. It wasn't our choice, but what it is our choice is, are we upholding it by not detoxifying ourselves? Is what I was saying a part of it as well. So Scotty wanted to respond. Yeah, let me see. Let me scroll up to see. Scotty, go ahead.
Just piggybacking off of what you said, the analogy I was using, Mel, was Farrakhan talking about starting a new black nation, you know, here on the North American continent. And he said we need to recruit Obama to lead it. And I'm saying to myself, so you're going to take a war criminal, a man who has never shown a propensity to practice justice, and just based on his skin color and his celebrity, you want to recruit him to be the leader of this new nation. And I know why he said it, because of like Dave talks about, the power of the celebrity figurehead. So that's why he said it, and I do agree with Dave. You know, well, Dave, I do think we do need leaders in certain areas of expertise, but in terms of a dictator, no, we don't need dictators or nothing like this. You know, we need to rule by the collective. Now, what I was saying about Kanye is if you understand the dynamics of what those victims of slavery was facing, it's not logical to say, well, they chose that. We're talking about children. The average age of a victim of slavery was 16 years old or younger. Most of them were teenagers, okay? And they don't speak English. They may not be able to even talk to other victims who speak another language different than them. So that makes it hard for them to collaborate on getting their freedom. And so, but I'm saying, though, for example, we could use the thing with the Jews, and not just the Jews, but all the victims of Nazi Germany. Now, we could say, hey, those people chose to walk into those ovens and get burnt the hell up. Or they chose to walk into those gas chambers. Well, what was their other choice? Well, they could have chose to get shot. So it shot on the spot and then, you know, just dragged into the furnace and get burned up then. So some of these things are not, while there is a choice, it's not really a choice. It's not a good choice, I should say.
Right. See, and what Scotty is saying is that those individuals were captured. And when people are captured, it's different. They're overall, they have captive choices. And it's a big difference. Here's the difference. When someone is captured, they are captured by overall force, and there are barriers that prevent them from escaping. And after so long, you can have someone inside a cage. And what will happen is that they will psychologically deteriorate to seeing that cage as their home. Why? Because they go through all of the conditions of life. They go through the rain. They go through the cold environment. So what they start to do is they start to adapt to that situation in their environment. And when they start to adapt to their environment, they do what? They survive in that. So whenever once they become captured, once that cage door comes open, they'll stay in that cage because that cage is now their home.
So, Brother Dave, are you saying basically we're suffering from Stockholm Syndrome?
Without a doubt, it's definitely the Stockholm Syndrome, without a doubt. But it's also far worse than the Stockholm system.
Dave, think about it like this. You're born into slavery. And from a baby, you know is this oppressive environment. And to enforce this environment on you, they have to make examples of people, whether that's taking a man and tying his limbs to separate horses and pulling them apart in front of the other victims, or tying him to a tree and beating him to death. That's going to have a psychological impact on everybody else. And only the strongest, the most strongest individuals, well, again, you know, will choose death. If it means death, I'm going to get free. Okay? Now, I also look at it like this, too. I try to put myself in that position, although that's difficult to do. But there were some who had families. Again, you born into this. You're several generations into this. And as much as you can live a life, you try to live a life. And you have a family. You have a quote-unquote wife. And y'all have children. And so, but you as an individual, let's say you go, they take you somewhere, and you see your chance to escape. But instead of escaping, you thinking about, damn, I'm going to be leaving my wife and my children in those horrible conditions. I can't do that, so I'm going back. I mean, it's just not as simple as some people try to make it seem.
Can I ask you a question? I'm going to mute my line after this. But Brother Scotty.
Yes.
You was talking about how they was hanging us and, you know, we might get hung from a tree. But how long ago was that?
What do you mean, how long ago was that?
How long ago was that they was hanging us from trees?
Well, some people say they still. I just read an article about some black people hanging from some trees the other day.
That was my point. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I knew you was on it. And now they got stats that there's been four black people killed by white people, lynched this year alone. Three of them came from Oklahoma right here.
But I don't see how that, and I'm not saying that you're implying that they are to blame, but I don't see how the victims are to blame.
No. I'm just saying, I mean, for the psychological effect of it, they're still lynching us, and I'm wondering
but they don't have total control over our bodies like they did, let's say, prior to 1865. They only have control of our bodies on the prison plantation like that. We have some measure of autonomy, and we can resist the programming to a certain extent, like most of the people who
tune
in.
But they had control of them people's bodies that they lynched, and that pregnant sister that they hung from the tree. Mm-hmm. And nobody's why is this not an outcry? I mean, what is going on here? And the psychological effect is
You're talking about people getting desensitized to it. Is that what you're talking about?
You know what? We got to get ready to go to a commercial break. And I would just say lynching has not ended. It's just revolutionized itself. They lynch you every time you pay taxes. And look at people that are afraid to pay their taxes. Look what will happen to you. Look at what will happen to you. See, the overall objective of this system has not changed. What it does is it changes its methods, and it's the same objective. So listen, got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. They're still lynching. They're still enslaving. They're doing it on multiple fronts now. Taxation is a lynching. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And, you know, listening to the brother that called in from OKC, I'm not quite sure what his name is today, but I sometimes commonly affectionately refer to him as Mel. And Scotty, and it's all these things are examples, and we're talking about what has been institutionalized to our demise. And one of the psychological effects, and Mel talked about Stockholm Syndrome. And one of the psychological effects about that, and I said is a little worse than that as well. And I agreeing with all that represented the thoughts here, because I'm not one that can see everything, but I know if we all have something, then when we're covered 360 degrees. Brother Davis covers a field that I don't have the vision with. Scotty has the overall binoculars focused in an area that I'm not covering. Mel has his, you know, and then I have mine. And then collectively, when we put it all together, we still have room for more to be able to look for a collective way to get to our objectives. So, and the part of the process, because you can't take someone. You have to train someone to be captive, just like taking a living, because the living entities of life that the great creator has given, like a bear, you take a grizzly bear, you go up to a grizzly bear that has not been tamed, that has not been schooled, and you go over to him with a whip and tell him to move to the right and stand up and then sit back down. Try that with a bear that hasn't been schooled and see what happens to you. You will be cut in half. Because that bear is self-determining and refuses to be captured. And it sees you as prey or as a threat. Prey or as a threat. Same thing, take a bear, a grizzly bear, bigger than the one that cuts you in half, make them two times bigger, twice the weight, and stronger, and then you can walk over with your whip and tell him to sit, and that bear will sit and wait for his next command for you to tell it how to live. That's the difference between the extremes. Now, you take that one bear that's bigger, stronger, and you take that bear after it's been institutionalized to give up its life constantly, and then you set it in a sterile environment known as self-determining in the ecosystem and everything else, you know what's going to happen to that bear? The likelihood that that bear is going to starve. Or it's going to, out of his overall physical need to eat, is going to engorge itself into something that's toxic that it shouldn't have been eating. And there was the other bear that will look at it and say, "Nah, man, you shouldn't be eating that. That ain't the." Or that one bear that's smaller will see that bear as a threat, and it will engage that bear in a wild fight that bear has never grew up learning how to position its body and how to engage in a fight. He won't be able to smell the way that the other wild, untamed bear will be able to distinguish the different smells. That one bear that's been schooled still has the sense of smell, but he won't be able to identify what that smell is. He won't be able to identify, oh, that's two other grizzly bears that's coming from my south. Won't be able to distinguish it. See, this is why I say it's so important for us, before we get into being into sovereignty, into we get into self-preservation, we first have to detoxify ourselves of this so that we can now go into the sterile environment and be able to fully function and prosper. Else we're going to eat the wrong stuff and get sick and die. We won't know how to deal with the overall climate, the changes, the natural changes. We won't be able to read the signs that, hey, there's a tornado coming. There is this coming. That was seismic activity. The birds were telling you, the other animals, because they felt something. And remember, you felt a little something, and you said, ah, that's just gas.
Hey, Dave.
We're unable to identify. Yes, Scotty.
Yeah, another example that just came to me using the nation state example, and I was confused before, but I get what you're saying now. I heard Fred Hampton on a video, obviously, but he was talking about what happened to Haiti right after the revolution. And after they had captured, what's his name, Dessalines, and the other guy who had been brutalized more so than other victims of slavery, because he was, you know, what they call a field Negro and whatnot. And Fred Hampton talked about how Papa Doc had became what he had to endure. He became brutal.
Yep.
And adopting the ways in Haiti of the oppressor that had just got through oppressing them. And so Fred Hampton had, so I think, you know, for at least that's my understanding of what you're saying when you say we have to detoxify ourselves, you know, before we go into the new.
That's exactly it, Scotty, because we've been scarred and scorned. We've been totally scarred and scorned. And I'm going to tell you, and don't misconstrue what I'm saying. It's just like there was a story, a historical story. Don't want to say what it is, but you'll be able to surmise what it is. They left out oppression, but they never entered into, because they weren't ready. That wasn't their overall job. They were too infirmed. It's just like being ill and you have to walk a long way. What you do is you carry everything that you can carry, for those that are healthy will be able to pick up when you collapse and keep going. Because we're too infirmed in this. But we need to be able to project and push and create the environment that we can be the ones that will start the detoxification process and not rely on our children to say, yo, we need to do it, or their children, the next generation. Because until one generation says, hey, we got to be the ones that start this, And we first got to detox ourselves from this. And once we become clean, once we go through all of the withdrawals and go through getting this totally out of our system, and it violently came in and is going to violently leave to the point where we're going to say, I can't do it. I got to go back to it. I can't. And just if we can just hold on and not allow us to break us, then we'll be able to function without any of its remnants in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirit. Now, we may be able to walk into the sterile environment. But by that time, that withdrawal process will be so severe that it will probably take our lives. But we will start the process of where that overall saturation will not be as prevalent in those that we've not named. And then now they will be able to smell the bear. They'll be able to know what can be eaten and what can't be eaten. They'll be able to determine what is sustainable and what isn't from a clean spirit, unscorned, untampered, untainted, untrained. Because the training of self-preservation in prosperity is a process just like the training of subjugation and oppression. They both have a process in order for the overall underlying objective to be relevant. The wild bear is able to know what berries to eat and where to find the blueberries in season and where to attack in a fight. That tame, institutionalized, domesticated bear, there's a natural instinct that's there, but they don't know how to bob and weave and how to take a bull rush because they ain't been given no bull rush like that. So
Dave, I got a correction. I want to issue a correction. He wasn't man, who did I say? Fred Hampton.
Papa Dot.
Yeah, Fred
Papa
Hampton.
Fred Hampton.
He wasn't talking about right after Haiti got its independence, but he was talking about, I think his name is pronounced Francis Duvalier, but also known as Papa Doc. And he was saying how Papa Doc, after he thwarted a military coup, in 1958, his government then became a totalitarian government with death squads and everything, just killing people indiscriminately. And you know, for people, if a Haitian didn't agree or publicly say, I disagree with this policy or what the president is saying, that they will, you know, end up dead and whatnot. So I do agree with you, man. We can't say that we're going to start something new and better, and then we're bringing these old habits with us, even if those habits were forced upon us.
Yep, that's exactly it, Scotty. Yep, and that was actually, I was talking about the biblical story of the Hebrew people wandering the desert. That's exactly it.
You're talking about what I wrote in the chat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Roz wants to chime in before we get out of here.
Yeah, definitely want to. Roz, what say you, bro? Go ahead.
Hey, peace to you, Dave, to Scotty as well, and the other callers and listeners. I missed a healthy portion of the show, but came in to get the gist of this particular aspect of the conversation. I'm going to definitely catch the archive. What Scotty talked about, Jean-Claude Duvalier, a very powerful story. And it's interesting because there's a clip of Dr. Marimba Ani, and actually we're going to probably use it in tonight's show, but she discusses, somebody asked her in an interview, she's the author of the book Yorugu, and they asked her, well, you know, how do you think we can change the way that we think and function due to what you said, that we're just infected with this particular way of life and have been for so long that she said that she believed that it's not possible for adults to unlearn the system we've been living with for too long. It's too ingrained in us. But she did say it's about the children. It's about giving them what they need so that they grow up with a different understanding of the system that puts them in a position where they're not infected and infested with it, so that they can make those proper changes that we wouldn't be able to in our lifetime. And it's something I agree with, just based on a lot of what you were talking about. And it's kind of like, like I say, it's psychosocial conditioning. I remember yesterday I was watching the show, and I can't remember what the name of it is for the life of me, but one of the characters had discussed the training of an elephant, like when they take a wild elephant in Asia or in Africa, and how he had said that when they put a stake in the ground, and they'll give the baby elephant a certain number of feet from that stake, and after that, they'll pull and they can't move any further. And what happens is the baby elephant will struggle, and can't, move any further than the end of that line. So he was saying that when you train them that way and you let them experience that over and over as a young elephant, when they become adults and you know that it will take nothing for them to pull that stake out the ground and do what they want, they still think back to the time that when they were a child and they couldn't do it, and that's the way that they're conditioned, so they never pull the stake for the rest of their lives, is what he had said. And that's basically the conditioning. There's even an essay that I had written, and I talked about it. There's a story called The Lion, Cub, and the Wild Boars, where these wild boars catch this lion cub and raise the lion cub into thinking it's one of them. And they use it as a sentinel to protect the boars from other lions, until the boars really show and prove to the lion that the lion was never one of them in the first place, that it was being used. And that's really what you're talking about. It's just that we've been infected with this system, and unless we really think in ways that can push us to divest and start, like you said, doing the things that are necessary to divest, and it would have to be a critical mass collective of people on the same page to do it, nothing will really effectively change, because there's not enough of us on the same page. So I agree with you emphatically. You just made me think of those points, and great show, and I can't wait to hear the archive. Peace and love. Did you mute yourself, Dave? I don't hear you.
Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I muted myself. I was talking as soon as Roz said it, to say, Dave, you there? Yeah, Roz, tell everybody what time you and Jenna's show is going to be on tonight, and what time is it going to be, and what you guys are going to be talking about tonight.
Oh, sure, we'll be coming on at 9 o'clock tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And the show will be on drones and the different uses we can use, the different things we can use drones for to help facilitate our liberation. Also, we'll be dealing with the children. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the children and the reasons that we do what we do as far as fighting the system, and what are the things we're trying to help our offspring avoid in the system, by learning from the mistakes we've made and our ancestors have made. So pretty much just kind of getting into that kind of stuff. And we'll be getting into quite a few topics, but those are the two of the main ones we'll be talking about this evening. Thank you.
My man, definitely. Listen, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so 2 hours from now, call back in here, 704-802-5056, and check out Jenna and Roz for Foundational Radio show is going to be coming up right here on Black Talk Radio Network. So, hey, everyone, I just want to say I greatly appreciate you all. Scotty, Mel called in, Roz called in. And some of you were in the chat room, L.A. Ramon. I didn't get to read some of that stuff. Greatly appreciate you all. Let me just say this. It's so necessary for us to be able to, when Scotty says, Dave, I don't get this, I don't see what you're saying, I want to hear what Scotty is saying, because I may not be able to articulate it the way that it needs to be done. We always have to listen to one another And then, because I know Scotty's my brother, I know you're my brother and my sister. I have no qualm and no beef with you all, nor do I intend to create one. What so I realize is so important that my voice is not the one that needs to be heard. It should just be sparking to where we say, wait a minute, let me think about this, and then we collectively all add our sparks to it to create what's necessary. So much love, much respect, never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Brother Braggs, if you'll be so kind, brother, if you would chime us out of here, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Foundational Radio coming on at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Check it out. Peace.
Can you hear me, Dave?
Got you, brother. Go ahead, Brother Brad. Peace, please.
Peace, peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.